Fife fans, welcome back to Scotland's premier Fife-based podcast, Fife Club, where a few mates talk about anything and everything that takes their interest. What's the first rule of Fight Club?
It's Fife Club, not Fife Fight Club.
Yeah.
You
fucking moron.
Yeah.
Are you calling you Meatloaf?
I'm obviously Tyler Durden.
I've got the tits.
Because I've written it down as Fight Club again. What's the first rule of Fife Club?
I think we talk about Fife Club.
Yeah. Yeah. His name was Robert Paulson. I've always thought it's meant to be Eric Paulson, the MMA fighter and Catch-as-Catch-Can wrestler. There you go.
All right.
Jamie's starting out niche.
This is very fucking niche. Did you watch Pancrase, a Japanese MMA promotion in the 90s? No, fuck off.
Yeah. I was watching it before it was cool.
So I don't really have very much written this week because I've not written anything this week. but thanks again for finding us if you have and you've listened. There's been some people listen this week, but once again, I've failed to promote it at all or even put it on our website. So it is those really diehard fans that have us on an RSS feed somewhere.
Basically people who feel obliged to listen to us because they know us. And so we don't have an awkward conversation with them the next time. Hey, you guys, you're doing that podcast thing. No, I listen to it. I do sometimes.
At a wedding a few weeks ago, I was asked about the podcast a few times and it honestly shook me to the core.
Somebody else at my work told me that they'd started listening, and then somebody else was like, oh, I should probably have a listen, I just don't know how. And I was like, give me your phone. Gave me their phone, unlocked it. I was like, well, that was silly. But all I did was go into the podcast app and add us. And I was like, now you'll get reminded every single week.
And a painted cutch crotch shot.
No.
Dick pics.
I like to keep my job. Kind of. Like I say, if you have been listening and if you've managed to find this episode and you're not finding it through any promotion, well fucking done.
Yeah.
Or not this episode, the last episode anyway. You know, well fucking done.
I know. It's like a secret gig.
Yeah.
like if we did a secret gig at a Fringe, it'd be the same as another gig at a Fringe. No one would fucking come.
I don't know. We might have probably more luck than most free shows out there. But
bugger it, guys. We're doing a Fringe show one year.
Next year.
Live in the Fringe. Scotland's worst podcast comes together.
So on the mics tonight with my good self, Kutch, is again with no particular fanfare, Jamie.
No.
And I'm Mark.
Hi there.
Yeah, it's probably the nicest thing I've said about both of you.
Since your wedding.
Yeah. And that was only preemptively to make yous all feel bad about what yous were about to say about me.
Nah, we slayed you, Kutch. Actually, we didn't. We flayed you alive.
Yeah, we were quite nice.
You guys were fucking mild compared to that bastard.
Yeah.
Here we are, once again. With the Renegade Master. Just thought we would get together a wee bit later than normal as well this week, but hey-ho, that's what it is.
We do on our Saturday night.
Shh, don't tell them.
I'm saying later than normal. I think the last two episodes went out on like a Wednesday or something. This will probably go out tomorrow, so it was probably earlier than the last two, so hey-ho. Just kind of going to have a wee chat about a few things. You guys seen the new Bugatti Chiron?
Is this the one that's made out of Lego?
Yeah, entirely made out of Lego.
That's mental.
So it's a real car. The Bugatti Chiron is a real new model of theirs, and Lego basically have just released their like £300 Technics kit for it. And
Bugatti Chiron for £300.
Yeah. But it's like a scale model basically. But like I was watching,
you're not able to actually sit on it though unless you've got holes cut out of your arse.
Oh, I was just about to say that what happens when you press the accelerator? Just go, oh, my foot.
Nice. Yeah, we've got there.
Like I say, the scale model, it's been released and it looks pretty cool. And I was watching a build video of it, like a sped up build video, and like it's got like a whole working engine inside it. You build the engine up out of
Is it an electrical engine, I take it?
Yeah, electrical engine. all moves and, you know, all bits are moving. And yeah, like, as with all Lego, pretty cool. You know, especially the technic stuff, you know, the level.
No, now I'm gonna disagree with you there.
What?
Technics was for your, like, your geeky sort of Lego aficionado. Not for me. I was building giant spaceships like normal Lego.
That kind of looked like houses with wings.
Yeah, pretty much. And why is there a policeman driving it? I don't know. There's a policeman sitting next to Robin Hood, sitting next to a knight.
And then a spaceman.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah.
I was building something for my... I don't know, my cousin's son? I'll just call him a nephew. Fuck it.
Yeah.
And he was like, at first I built him a boat, and then he came back. It was like his one, actually. He's like, Uncle Jamie, could you build a bigger boat? And I was like, oh, okay. And he came back and just told me the boat was rubbish. it really was. Like, I never claimed. Venny's Uncle Neil took over, who's always been, he was always straightened with a mechano and all this stuff.
And
fucking building stuff that moved and all this, you know.
Made an actual boat.
Yeah, pretty much. Yeah, out of Lego, yeah.
I didn't need things to move because I was born with an imagination.
All right, Mr. Boon.
I was going to say, I was programmed into using my imagination by Mr. Boon.
Yeah.
He went to the moon.
Yeah.
He did, then, no bother at all. Fuck you, Neil Armstrong. Mr. Boon was there well before you were. Maybe not. I don't know. I can't remember the timelines on these things.
He fucking lives on the moon.
Yeah, well, actually,
Neil Armstrong spent a few hours.
Does Mr. Boon live on the moon, or does he only jump over the moon?
I think he lives on the moon.
But does he live on the moon as well?
I okay. Think so. But yeah, he the Bugatti Chiron. So in an effort to publicize this £300 kit, Technics kit, they thought, can we build an actual full scale model of it using only Technics bits? And they did. And it's mental. And it drives as well.
Yeah, it actually moves. Yeah.
Somebody can go inside it. It's got something like 1,420 Technics motors in it.
Wow.
Which means it can move at a theoretical 18 miles per hour.
Bloody
but up. They've only been able to get it up to about 9 or 10 at the moment. But it's just...
It's because the accelerator's too sore in their feet.
Fucking sorted. But yeah, like, I think the only thing that isn't made out of Lego is the tyre itself. But the rest of it, like, they were reading a thing, they were talking about using the actual suspension from the Chiron itself. But talking to the Chiron technicians, they were like, it's just going to add too much weight and it's just going to start to be messy. So, no, they just developed a system out of the Technics. And, like, you have to have a proper, decent engineer in mind.
Yeah, yeah, to be able to build that.
To build that.
I mean, and build it out of Lego.
You're going to build it, like, I know a lot of the Lego... Buildmasters or whatever it is they call them, they have the software where they can build it in a software thing, so they know how many pieces they need and if it'll work and whatnot.
CAD, then, essentially
For Lego.
Yeah.
But, you know, so you're going to sit and have to design
Lego CAD.
Yeah, Lego CAD. Design it and figure out what pieces, what, you know, how many, what lengths, you know, what's going to bear the weight, what's going to... That is an amazing...
And there's going to be one bit you just definitely don't have. Because they've not put it in the box and you're absolutely sure of it. And it's not because your dad's put it on in the wrong place.
Could you imagine the delivery that comes along? It'd be like one of the keyline bands with the crane on the back of it coming out and just like dumping bags of Lego on the street.
No, a little note to my dad now, just, hi dad, thanks for giving away all my Lego. Not sad about it at all. It's fine, I'm not going to have any kids.
Did I not give you some Lego for
you? Yeah, I've got a Lego pirate ship from Kutch.
Fuck yeah.
Yeah, yeah. Actually, we should build that one day. Yeah. What a day that would be.
That sounds like
I'm
mega
not so good with ships and boats. Yeah, I've already been reviewed. It's not good. One star.
I'm sure when God's called down, he looked, he was like, Jamie with Lego or Noah with wood? Jamie, Noah's got this one, all right?
You're just going to drown like the sinner you are.
Yeah. And also, you only had sharks as well from the pirate Lego. And dragons. You got dragons as well. You got horses as well.
Horses, yeah.
For the knights, yeah.
Yeah. Have you seen the the stuff that's been appearing up online recently? Lego porn.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah.
I saw a thing about it every day.
Yeah. Yeah. Oh, my. That's a interesting subgenre. yeah.
Shout out to our listener, Dale, who I'm sure is already all over that.
There's so many holes in a bit of Lego.
There's so many wrong holes to go into as well.
Straight up into your foot.
There was one which was
just going to say a giant Lego cock of balls.
There was one that was like, what was it? I can't spread my legs, but I can give you the best hand job you've ever had.
Oh, dear.
Oh, dear. What people will do. What people will do.
Is that a fire hose or an antique pistol in your pocket? Oh, dear.
Guys, I've changed my mind about the ship, but we can make a few modifications.
I was going to say, on the theme of Lego, though, yeah. Like, that's a good Lego story, but I'm going to show you this, if you hadn't seen it. That last year,
oh my
football
God.
Team, Heart of Midlothian, the Jam Tarts, or the Diet Huns. I like to refer to them.
You're so lucky George doesn't listen to this.
Yeah. they released a Lego bus for like their 1998 Cup winning.
Holy shit.
So it was a decade afterwards. So
wow.
That, and it's an absolute beauty.
It is. It's actually really quite good. It looks like a proper Edinburgh bus as well. Mm. Yeah.
If you were a Jambo and you saw this today,
you'd buy
team four. Oh yeah, it'd top off your day of him winning 4-1, and Hibs losing as well.
Oh yeah,
that's a great day for
yeah. Yeah. In fact, actually, shout out to a good occasional podcast listener, and now our Japan correspondent Lewis White.
Oh yeah,
who's had the best day in the world because Kilmarnock beat Aberdeen, which
shit.
Is one of our one of our masters derbies. We like to refer to it as the infirm. to drunk and smoking Jakes. and then Air United got whipped 5-0 as well. So it is literally all turning up Lewis White today. So hi Lewis. Konnichiwa and what other Japanese words? I could really count to 10. That's about all I can do in Japanese.
I can't even do that.
Domo arigato. Mr. No.
Konnichiwa. Need to watch more J-Well.
I know lots of judo.
With Hannah Minks. Do you not know Hannah Minks?
Nope.
Oh, yeah, he does. Yeah. She's basically this girl with big tits who teaches you Japanese.
Wait, hold on. This is a work computer.
Oh, wait, yeah, so, yeah, don't. Yeah,
no. It's fine.
No,
it's YouTube. Oh, no, that's not her. Oh.
Go not near my work computer.
It's fine, it's all on YouTube. It's
Kutch just typed
fine.
In Lego porn on his work computer.
So if anyone's got a job for me, go ahead.
No, but it's basically just this girl, Davis, who teaches you Japanese.
Oh, like, is it
YouTube?
Like the equivalent of, like, Korean Billy?
Yeah,
have you seen Korean Billy?
Yeah.
Who does the accents? I could genuinely watch that all day.
Korean Billy. Because we're kind of really good.
Yeah, they are.
But he gets so much wrong at the same time that it's brilliant.
Yeah, it's
like,
hilarious.
Just slightly wrong. It's, I love it.
But also, like, a fair amount of credit to Korean Billy.
Yeah.
Who actually put out two different videos on what is a Geordie accent and what's a Macam accent.
Wow.
Oh, yeah.
Now, if you're doing the UK, like, everybody from across the world thinks the entire UK speaks in the same accent.
Which is interesting because, just on that note, I was talking about 25 Days, the podcast that I was listening to, which was the three Aussie comics that I went to see. They were...
Do love Australians, yeah, Coach.
They were doing...
I don't understand.
They were doing this podcast about being at Edinburgh, like covering the 25 days they were there, and just it was their first time round, and basically just documenting it. But one of the things they were saying was like, it's... The amazing thing about the UK is you can literally go a kilometre down the road and the accent is completely different.
Yeah, totally.
Like,
totally.
Absolutely different. Aye. And, I mean, yeah, it's no truer than in Fife or, you know, you can go from here out to Cowdenbeath, out to like Glenrothes and Leslie, and the accent's just totally...
Well, you see, that's the thing as well. Like, I find it difficult sometimes to recognise other Scottish accents and where they're from.
Because there are
just so many.
Yeah.
And it's like, it's hard to pinpoint where someone is unless they've got, like, a stereotypical, like, a Ouija accent is really easy to do. Like, an Aberdonian is really easy to do.
Stirling can be tough.
But then it's also like, that thing of, like, Ayrshire and Glasgow, if you don't know the differences, you wouldn't know that they're two separate. But, they are. They're very different when you hear them side by side. If you don't know, you would just assume that they were all Ouija's.
Yeah, exactly.
It's also...
Hun without the bus fare. Or actually, Hun without the bullet train fare these days.
Wow.
Yeah. Oh, that's good. I like that one.
It's also a solid business plan from Korean Billy.
Yeah, exactly.
It's everybody who has a vague... Even if you don't... Like, I have no connections to Liverpool. Zero. But I still watched the Liverpool... Was it Liverpool? Yeah, Liverpool.
You did the Scouse one. Yeah.
Still watched it because it's like, well, this will be funny. And you get the guaranteed thing of people from that area, like a good percentage of people from that area watching your video because it spreads like wildfire.
Ah, right. Yeah. No, absolutely.
Yeah.
Oh, is that the... What's her face?
Yeah. With Japanese word of the week.
Yes.
Mark can't take his eyes away from the screen right now.
He just loves kanji. Yeah.
Absolutely. It's just like her love of Japanese mascots.
Oh, who won the mascot race? I saw that they had it. Yeah, apparently they have a race for like Scottish football mascots.
Oh yeah, no, I've not seen it.
I don't know. Better being Kingsley.
Kingsley's just too wild to go on there altogether. Like Kingsley and Sammy the Tabby is like such an absolute reprobate.
I'm sure Sammy Tabby must have Asbos again. Just for fucking
I still think like actually it's one of the joyous things about like Dunfermline Football Club is the mascot was for a good period of time he was absolutely hilarious. He got in trouble for making a little cardboard tag and pretending to shoot Falkirk or Raith Rovers fans. And then one, he had six-fingered gloves, which he had to go for saying they were Falkirk gloves. Like, honestly, fair play to that. And then, like, this is what I'm saying. I keep saying stuff like this about, like, Scottish football. When people think of Scottish football, you hear English people saying things like, oh, it's just a Mickey Mouse league, isn't it? Oh, it's all shit. And you're like, mate, if you come here and you see a man in a bear suit handing out six-fingered gloves to your parochial rivals, this is dead pigeons on the ground. Like, seriously, the Celtic manager having had some tryst with a transsexual, which became all over the newspapers. The former Scotland manager, Craig Brown, who's well in his 60s and a reputed shagger. Like, there are all of these stories that come out of, like, and everybody knows about them. There was a referee who allegedly got outed for shagging a dog the other week. It's on all of the boards. And you people just think this, and you people think English football is better than that? Like, literally, this is hilarious.
We don't need Mo Salah.
Yeah, exactly. Let's put it this way. The core sort of, the core function of football is entertainment, yeah?
Exactly.
Yeah. So there you go. There's no more entertainment.
A Partick Thistle player chased a gang of people in Maryhill in Glasgow with a samurai sword. There's another, I think it's a former Hearts player who's a dyed-in-the-wool conspiracy theorist as well. I've actually not found the link again. But
it sounds like Scottish football is... to like football, what MMA is to combat sports not being just batshit crazy people taking part and doing like that guy drilling his balls off.
Oh god, yeah.
The other week
Cowboy Cerrone like almost dying doing a cave dive as well.
Yeah,
just
there was that guy who had Nazi tattoos.
Oh god,
and everybody's like, oh, he's a bad person, and then he beat up his fighter girlfriend. Everybody was like, oh, you fucking snowflakes. It's because he's got some Nazi tattoos. It's like, what the fuck? Yeah. He's got lunch with Nazi tattoos.
Yeah, that's not cool, man.
Scumbag. Yeah. Sport of kings. Oh, there was a referee who choked out a guy the other day. The guy tried to take him down, so he just guillotined him. And then walked off looking happy about it.
Yeah.
It's such a fucking joke of a sport. But I love it so much.
That's exactly how I feel about Scottish football. Exactly. Yeah. Like, I don't care if other people don't like it. It's like... until you actually get into it, like, Once you get into it, it's amazing. It's like it's like the football equivalent of the Twilight Zone.
It's very sort of just memes upon memes upon memes.
Yeah. Pretty much. I love it.
It's definitely something something of its own, isn't it?
So what else were we going to talk about? You were going to talk about the old march in Dunfermline.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah.
People were marching in Dunfermline.
Yeah, so now, here's the thing. If that's for you, fair enough. And, you know, I support independence. But
well, we should say it was an independence march that took place in Dunfermline in the rain today.
Yeah.
So
Dave Rogers from his podcast was saying that Tommy Sheridan was, like, cajoling him earlier to try and get him to join the march and was like, what? You join March? And I was like, do you not love your country or something like that? He said to him.
Oh, I could imagine Dave wanting to choke slam Tommy Sheridan into next week.
I met Tommy once as well at Dundee University. When he was in his Armani suit talking about only taking like 20 grand a year of his pay, his average pay. Not forgetting that his wife's like a high-flying lawyer.
Yeah.
No, everyone can do it. But, yeah, so it was an independence march into Farmland, and I support independence, but it was literal flag waving. Which?
Flags! The flags!
So it's like, and here's the thing, if someone does that, fair enough. But I just think it's everything that I hate about the independence movement in one thing.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I can't judge because having not seen the march, I didn't
see it either. I didn't know about it until people started talking about it on Twitter, and I was like, oh, what?
There's a march.
Yeah,
I didn't know until you told me about it. So yeah, so
I just hate lots of things. I hate megaphones for a start. I hate flag waving. I hate people that are overly keen and enthusiastic about anything in general. And like, I mean, like I'm the same as you. Like, I'd like independence. I think it's the right thing to do eventually.
Yeah.
But you know what? I'm not going to go and march up and down Dunfermline High Street on a wet day to achieve it. I'll just vote for it. Like I can't. And do you know what else I hate? It's like shit protest songs as well. Yeah. You know, where do we want it? Oh no! Oh, all that in like sort of vague unison. Just does my tits in. Like, I can't stand. I actually hate political marches altogether.
Mm.
Yeah.
Yeah. I've never actually been on a full march before. And just... I have that sort of, like, opinion that what is it achieving? I don't always think it achieves what people think it achieves.
A to B marches are kind of like, if it's just a to B march,
mm-hmm.
like, it's only good for one thing, which is like rallying support within a group.
Yeah. So it's like a networking opportunity.
Yeah.
Like we all come together to this so we can make connections with each other.
Mm-hmm. Do you know what I hate most about political things, that marches like that, mm-hmm. demos, is fucking the swappies, the Socialist Workers Party, selling their fucking papers.
Yeah.
Every time we're like, oh, buy this paper to like build a revolution. They're going to buy your fucking paper. Leave me alone. Fuck me off massively. I hate them. Anyway. But no, it's just... So yeah, it works well in that sense. But I think they do more when they're more spontaneous. Like the fucking student one was quite good in London, where they went and just ransacked Tory HQ.
Yeah, exactly. I think sometimes that where it's like more like direct action than it is like a kind of like we're all going to meet up and do X thing and then we're going to bugger off again sort of thing. And also like if you're doing a march through Dunfermline, right?
Mm.
What is your kind of, so is your goal visibility? Because let's face it, the BBC isn't going to show a massive march in an indie march in Glasgow.
Yeah.
Let alone is it going to do anything in Scotland? So your best press hit is potentially the Courier or the Dunfermline Press.
Yeah.
But like, it's great to get out to local media and stuff like that. But is that the kind of hit that you really particularly want? Is it a social media thing so you can take a photograph? But then there's the danger in that. Like, it's a wet day.
Yeah,
so you take a photograph and you go, look at all these people, and there's hardly anyone there.
Yeah.
Then that defeats the purpose as well for the awareness, showing massive support. Media,
I think it would only really gain support in, like, sort of the SNP circles.
Yeah.
The same people who have been given Alex Salmond money.
Because, again, that's the... Oh, God. Good God. Well, there's a link. But yeah, it is the whole thing with your social media is that everybody has their social media so curated that you only see, you know, it is a bubble.
Your social media is undeniably a bubble.
Absolutely. So, yeah, you're only preaching to the converted.
Yeah, and you're probably putting off people with a march like that of literal flag waving politics.
Yeah.
You know, like, you're probably putting off people who are on the fence, who are probably more moderate, probably moderate as in like sort of Blairite, you know, that sort of politics.
Well, I was going to say, like, again, I completely agree with that. I think that the nice thing about the 2014 independence movement was that it was actually quite a broad swathe of different political parties.
It really was,
and it was a lot of different views about independence.
Mm-hmm. And it had arts people in it, and it had a lot, you know, tons of working class people in it as well. You know, it was like, it was really broad, and it was good.
And it, like, I think the overall feeling I got about it was that it was an inclusive thing. Whereas what I feel a little bit now is that there's a
us and them.
There's an It's very much an us and them sort of situation at the moment.
Ulsterization, you know, you want to say
it's like we are the 45. You know, that's
We are the 45. And it, like, if you're not hardcore in with us, then you're out.
Then what's the point?
Which
is such a stupid.
Well, exactly. Like, there are points at which in politics your campaign has to be about various different things, your goals. Like, for example, like, you take the Labour Party a few years ago, right? And the Ed Miliband, Jeremy Corbyn thing. The strategic goal for them is to mobilise a base which is gone and left them. Because they went so much to trying to capture the undecided or the sort of floating vote thing that their base actually just kind of fell away. There's a point where, to be winning, you need to have your base and you need to capture the undecided sort of thing. And what happened with Labour is it went a bit too much away from the base and the base just fell away because that's what happens naturally.
Yeah.
When you move so far away from them, they're just like, well, they'll either not vote or vote for someone else. Yep. So there's a campaign objective to mobilise that base to try and get a platform to then broaden out to do something else. And I think that's probably what Labour are trying to do. Whereas with the SNP, yes isn't going to be won by the hardcore.
No.
The hardcore is probably still only 30-35% at best. There is, you to get the others over the line, you can't do something that feels exclusionary.
No.
You can't feel like it's you are the one true voice of this movement sort of thing, and that your slightly different take is going to,
like I say, is that it's got to be that inclusive thing again, like what happened in 2014, where you know, like, I mean, I was on the fence about it for a long time. I wasn't sure, and then just a few things started, you know, bits and pieces of what could happen, and it wasn't necessarily the SNP's vision, but it was of, you know, what other people were talking about that could happen with us being an independent nation, with us having, you know, like, our basically our own politics, you know, and be affecting, you know, what we do rather than it coming from London, and just all that kind of stuff started to click and make sense. And that's when then, you know, I crossed over that line.
Yeah.
I'm still there, and I probably will be there for a very, very long time now as well. But yeah, just that's what needs to happen. It needs to be more about ideas on what our nation can be, rather than just independence for independence sake.
I know there's a that point, the really negative attitude about anything to do with Westminster, the belief that everything's a conspiracy that's been led by Westminster.
I just like to call it Wings Over Scotland, who fought the before it was revealed as a Scottish government, who was Finian Alex Salmon. He thought it was a Westminster like conspiracy. Who's like, oh, Westminster's really scared this year, aren't they, pulling out all the tricks? And I retweeted it with someone like, oh yeah, the Scottish government, that famous MI5 cell. Like, you know, it's just unreal.
But that is something that's very difficult, because he's a guy who's got a really big platform in the indie movement, and like, there are occasionally times when I think what he says is quite good. There are times when I fundamentally disagree with what he says.
Mostly,
and things like that.
Like, again, one of my biggest problems with the whole independence thing was Salmon. Like, I just never found him to be much of a likable character. He was a bit too much independence for independence sake, always, you know, just battering on about it.
That's what a few family members said to me as well.
Yeah.
Said, I'd actually, although I'm not completely sold on it, I would I sort of considered it, but I can't vote for Alex Salmond because I can't vote because he's so smug and I don't want to be the first minister of Scotland, you know.
Yep. Whereas, sort of again, look at now with Nicola Sturgeon, I feel like that's, you know, I could vote SNP. I could, you know, I could go in with that. She's not the same
type of person.
Yeah. I do feel that she is, like, the way that she talks when she's, you know, talking about independence, she's talking about, you know, like, again, government, she does kind of talk in a more general sense, and she does try to put forward a vision.
It's a positive vision of what government can do.
Yeah.
Whereas I think you're right. I think the Salmond style is more antagonistic.
Yeah.
Well, I think that if you look at it from a hardcore... If you look at it from a hardcore independence viewpoint, I don't think there would have been an Indy referendum in 2014 without Salmond.
I think you needed
somebody with that force of personality to literally break down a door. Mm-hmm. And then there's the point by which the door's already broken down. You don't need that kind of blunt instrument type thing anymore.
Yeah, yeah.
You need something that's a bit more of a subtle push.
Mainstream of UK politics now.
Yeah, exactly.
Whereas before, you'd only know Alex Salmond.
Yeah,
like exactly. He was the only one who ever got any news coverage, you know, and now, on a UK level anyway.
Yeah. Well, I mean, it's like, say, they were always one of the others when it came to, you know, any elections. It was, you know, Labour, Lib Dems, Conservative, others.
Yeah, others. Yeah, it was like five SNPs or something.
Yeah, and that was it. And now, you know, now look at them. Christ, they wiped the board clean in, 2015.
They can't repeat that result, though.
No, I don't think they can ever do it. But that's
a big problem for them, is it?
But yeah,
that's why the SNP can't be the only thing, because they're going to diminish in power.
Mm-hmm. There comes a peak point.
Yeah. Oh yeah. I think it's already been.
Yeah, but, I would think it's probably
absolutely.
Been as well.
But again, you know, the fact that they were even able to do that after. After the independence, you know, as say, wipe the board essentially. What, two, three areas?
Yeah.
Was it something like that?
Yes, South Edinburgh. And two Tory ones probably in the borders.
Yeah, but Perthshire, I think, as well.
And then, again, you know, even in the Scottish elections, you know, they're absolutely, you know, clearing up pretty much these days as well.
Yeah, they do very well electorally. And there is definitely a strategy to combine what I think is there's sort of a dual strategy that they're going with at the moment, which is kind of there is that big emotional pull side of the argument. And then there's which is focusing, I think, on Brexit and things like that, about what Westminster is refusing to let them do, etc.
Yeah.
And then on the other side, there's the more piecemeal kind of gradualist approach, which is done with things like the Growth Commission and stuff like that. So I actually think that they're trying to play a very clever game.
It's a very new Labour game.
Oh, it's very new Labour. I saw a journalist describe them a couple of weeks ago as like militantly centrist. And I was I completely agree. I didn't think that when I was living away. But now that I live here, I can see a lot more centrist.
And they've done just enough to finger off any influence Corbyn might have had in Scotland, which probably isn't that much. But they've gone, oh, well, we'll set up a nationalised bank.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. And we'll look at, you know, bringing the trains back in at the next contract, which could have done in the last contract, but, you know, just push them just a little bit further. Because, said it before in this podcast, but Corbyn is at best a vanilla social democrat. He doesn't even want progressive taxation.
Yeah. Nah, exactly.
You know what I mean? So it's not that hard for them to match it, within their own powers now.
And that's right. And that's where, when you become a centrist party, you basically start feeling the pressure from either side.
Yeah.
And you have to nibble off something on one side and then nibble off something on the other. So they're probably under pressure from the Tories on a few other things. Mm-hmm. They're probably under pressure from like a Corbyn resurgence on the left on a few other things. So it just becomes this bit where you're shifting constantly to try and see off the attacks. But I think it's very interesting. To go back to your point, though, which was about the Alex Salmond thing, I'm just really disappointed, like, reading through Scottish Twitter, the way people, the really hardcore yes movement have treated that. It's like this idea that it is a great big conspiracy. No, this is a bloody serious allegation. I'm sorry, but
two people as well.
Absolutely, like, stunned that he has went to crowdsourcing for the money for the
legal fees.
But not only that, that it's now at 100,000.
Oh, if anybody doesn't know, he's been accused of don't know, sexual assault, because that's illegal, whereas it could...
Is it like misdemeanor or something
like
that?
Yeah, it could be something that's not actually a crime, but it's like an HR issue, so it's not clear. There's been reports of what it is, but they've not been... confirmed,
yeah.
So we can't really say, but it's some sort of inappropriate workplace behavior with two women who complained just a couple of months after the procedure was put in place to complain about former ministers in the Scottish government.
Yeah,
you know,
and I think that's the big thing as well. Like, no matter where these kind of allegations come, whether it's in Hollywood, whether it's in politics, whether it's in whatever company you work for or anything like that, every single one of these has to be dealt with in the most appropriate way possible.
Yep.
And at the moment, there seems to be a process in place. I don't know it intimately, but there seems to be a process in place by which it's being followed. And it's like, and I appreciate there's a lot of media interest in the figures that are involved in this, but I almost feel like I want the media to step back.
Yeah, I agree.
From this, because I would rather see the due process take place. And then we could talk about it afterwards.
Well, it was about to come out.
Yeah, it was about to come out.
And she was about to publish it, and he essentially, I don't know if he went for an injunction, but he's taken them to the court session so to stop it. So, yeah.
But on the crowdfunding thing as well, I just think that's really disappointing. There's somebody who is relatively wealthy enough to pay for his own legal to pay his own legal fees. And it almost feels, to my mind, a little bit like exploiting party loyalty from people to pay for something which is basically quite personal.
People were, I can't remember what the hashtag was the other day, but it was something like something fair, like, you know, not fair go, but everybody deserves a fair chance or something that when they were sharing it. But I couldn't be bothered getting into a Twitter argument, but I was going to respond to them. I was going to respond to one of them. If they were like, oh, it isn't about, you know, whether I believe him or not, it's about if it's, you know, he gets a fair chance. And I was like, but if that's true, if it was Ruth Davidson who was accused of this, or actually no, she's semi-likable. Let's say someone, I don't know, David Mundell, Scottish Secretary.
Yeah.
He's an arse. So say it was him and allegations, these SNP supporters wouldn't be giving him money to try it because it's for due process and all that.
Yeah,
and that's because it's like a fan club thing.
It is part of that. Like, it's that you're part of the converted. And there's a big problem as well, insofar as we already know that there's unequal access to justice.
Yeah, exactly. Mm-hmm. Yeah.
So basically, if you're poor, you know that you have unequal access to justice.
Yeah.
And that was before the cuts.
Legal aid and everything like that. So we are already in a situation. So to my mind, there is somebody who's a public figure who has a lot of money, who's well aware of the fact that there's inequality of access to justice, who's taking advantage of something else to give himself even more advantage, if you know what I mean. And I don't know, people wouldn't be crowdfunding for, like, if it was just any other Joe Bloggs, SNP activist or something like that as well. It's because of the public profile.
And it is that thing as well. Like, the other day I'd seen that he'd resigned from the party.
Which actually is the right thing he should have done.
Right thing to do. And somebody was like, oh, I'm really... somebody at my work was like, oh, I'm really surprised at that. I was like, I'm not. I was like, yo, I'd imagine that he wouldn't want to affect the party with this. So
but then
the party won't want him affecting... So, yo, get rid of the connection right now. Let's, you know, stop it. Get him away from it. He's obviously going to be, tackling the government on a legal level. That's, you know, there's a conflict of interest, so leave the party.
Conferences in a few weeks.
Yeah.
You know.
It separates that so that the SNP can get on with what they need to get on with, back to the day job.
But if the idea is to sort of take the pressure off the party, then you don't crowdfund.
But that's it. Yeah, but then the next thing is that he started crowdfunding, and you're just like...
In fairness, I've laid into him for the crowdfunding thing. I don't know whether somebody else started the crowdfund or whether he started it.
It was him or his office.
He
did a video, and I'm pretty sure he talked about it in it, or he said, you know...
There's a case where things happen and people automatically put money in, or it's going to be accepted. But he should deny it. They should not accept.
Just on a side note, just like those arseholes, there was a woman who he had raised, so she, there was this homeless guy in the States, and I can't remember the story, but she raised 400 grand for him on crowdfunding, and then decided not to give him the money, because she said he'd just spend it on drugs. And I'd be like, I don't mind him spend a bit of, like, he won't spend it all on drugs.
No,
he might spend a bit of it on drugs. Yeah. Don't have a problem with that, that's fine. I mean, might do that if I had 400 grand. But at the same time, it's like, but apparently, whoever it was, Kickstarter, Indiegogo, whoever it was, is demanding they refund all the money to people who paid it. But yeah, it's just,
that's crazy.
Imagine doing that. How often, that's enough money to set that guy up with a house.
Mm. Yeah, yeah, yeah.
And like, years of income while he sets himself up, you know, and gets a job or whatever he wants to do.
And also put potentially as well in America, potentially that's healthcare or something like that.
Yeah,
as well.
Exactly. Yeah.
It's like, I mean, okay, sure, you'd probably get Medicaid, which is very poor anyway, for like, but if you had $400,000, there's a chance you could go through a proper treatment program and all that kind of thing, which is expensive.
Yeah.
So yeah, no, that's shocking.
There are a number of crowdfunded things that are just absolute scams, like games that never get made.
Of course.
This, you know.
But what does happen to the money? Do the people just get to keep it if they hit over the barrier?
So the thing is that a lot of them, they'll go over the amount. And as soon as they go over the amount, that money can be theirs, basically, because it's an agreement that you've made that you're going to fund this. And then with the hope that you get a product at the end of it.
Yeah, but there's only a hope. It's not like...
Yeah, there's no guarantee.
It's almost like giving shares and so. It's almost like buying shares in something.
Yeah,
if you have shares, you have a... There's an obligation to...
Do something with the shares. You can lose money.
Do you know what seems huge on these sites? Is board games.
Mm-hmm.
Absolutely massive, which is something I'm not really into. Although, I did watch a YouTube video this week by... Irving Finkel, who's a curator for like the Mesopotamia bit of the British Museum, watch his videos on YouTube. He's exactly what you imagine a British Museum creator would be like. He's got a massive beard. Oh, he's a total eccentric.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, he's great. But he did a thing about... Penn was doing his Mr. Miyagi thing and slaughtering flies.
I seem to have to... I've got a banana that's gone well past its date, and I think that's attracted a number of fruit flies. My flat's a tip. I live in a crack den.
I saw a fox run out from underneath
earlier. Yeah, he's been there a while.
This curator, British Museum, had this board game that he'd found a tablet for the rules for from ancient Mesopotamia, from like Babylon.
Okay.
And it looks fucking amazing. It's really simple, but it's like you've got counters and you roll these die, which are like little triangles, and then you get to move, and depending on what you land on, you get so many rules and you've got to try and get all your pieces off of everyone. But there's tons of strategy involved. I was like, holy shit, I don't like board games, but I really want to play an ancient Mesopotamian board game.
Yeah, I mean, I agree with you, but I would have actually loved if he'd found the tablet with the instructions to make a Mesopotamian kerplunk. Or pop-up pirate or something like that. That would be absolutely awesome.
The Falling Gardens of Babylon.
Yeah.
Hungry Hippos. Yeah. Whatever it would have been.
Hungry Hippos is insane.
Know what we do about hippos? We're going to talk about the other week on the podcast. It should be humans that we're eating. Like human pieces.
Yeah.
Vicious bastards.
Fair enough. Why not? We're also going to just kind of flying round about here. Go back to Dunfermline.
Fuck you, Kirkcaldy.
Yeah. Fuck you, Kirkcaldy. Do you have the Outwith Festival?
No, you don't. Because you're out with the boundaries of Dunfermline.
See what you did there.
And civilization. Mesopotamia has more civilization than you. The only board games in Kirkcaldy are standing on the high street trying to count the number of shoppers. Yeah, there's none. Because you live in a ghost town. Right, have I done enough anti-Kirkcaldy stuff? I just feel like I came on for that specific purpose.
That's fine, yeah. They definitely don't have this nice, cool festival that we've got the Outwith Festival.
Yeah, that's what all the kids are into these days.
Basically, it's a celebration of homegrown and out-of-this-world music, comedy, film, theatre, art and literature. It was, I think, last year was the first one as well. And yeah, just it's like big names from like roundabout artists and you know, musicians, all sorts, as it says, and just kind of to celebrate the area, Fife and whatnot in general. And there's actually a load of cool shit coming on.
Yeah,
we were having a wee look.
Gregory Burke is doing a talk about various bits of writing. He's the guy that wrote Gagarin Way and Black Watch.
Yep,
two very big stage plays, which is pretty cool, I reckon.
Yeah,
there's an Icelandic choir, which actually sounds pretty cool. We're also doing a screening of one of my all time favorite films. Great Christmas film, Jason and the Argonauts.
Yeah. Oh, the original.
Yeah.
With the
model of Telos, like.
Oh,
yeah.
Nice.
Yeah, like the original model and that, and someone.
Was
I think
that
someone's
Ray
there.
Harryhausen?
Yeah, I think so. Someone's there who was involved with it as well.
Ah, yes. Oh, cool.
Which I'm quite surprised at, because it's quite an old film. It's,
I wonder what the link is. John Kearney will attend the special screening. Cast member John Kearney will attend the special screening of the seminal 1963 adventure, which features the work of special effects legend Ray Harryhausen and tells the story of Peril's Quest, blah, 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 Continuity of the Raid, Foundation of
the Skeleton Army scares the shit out of me.
I've loved that film since I first saw it when I was a kid.
Yeah.
And it's, it didn't get shown one year at Christmas and I got really annoyed. And then Channel 5 started showing it at Christmas. I was like, yes!
Sorry, I'm dying. Sorry, guys, it's my last podcast. The emphysema's got me. Jesus.
You've just inhaled so many fruit flies.
They're attacking me from the inside out. I was going to say, like Jason and the Argonauts, The Great Escape, Muppet Christmas Carol, and...
Die Hard,
and wait, there's... It's a Wonderful Life.
Oh, yeah.
I'm not the biggest fan of this one. I know it's
Miracle
on
34th Street as well. I'm a big fan of Miracle on 34th Street at Christmas.
It's good. Yeah. It's good. I like that. It's a good Christmas film. But I'm sorry, we're reversing back to the fuck, Jamie.
Yeah. I also like Edward Scissorhands, I think, of as a Christmas film. Yeah. And along the same lines, Nightmare Before Christmas.
Yeah.
Yeah, Nightmare Before Christmas is excellent.
It's fucking great.
It doubles up as a good Halloween one as well.
It does. It's just perfect.
Yeah. But yeah, like I say, they've got that. They've got Giacomo.
Yeah, exactly.
Told us, but Giacomo in the town.
Giacomo.
They've got.
What are you going to do? Were you going to do a clothes
the size of a customer?
It's all real.
Includes me. Yeah. That includes me. Absolutely. I have a prime Giacomo customer, actually.
I was going to say, in Giacomo's, it's all we old women anyway. Yes, so, yeah.
That's true.
But they've got an exhibition of somebody that's been doing prints of work that's been influenced by the design and everything that goes, everything that's inside Giacomo's.
Yeah, because it actually
it's
is.
Art deco.
Yeah, it's art deco. Yeah, definitely.
It's never changed. it's a proper relic, isn't it?
There is something like, there is honestly, like, in this like revivalist hipster world, there is something that could genuinely come back with Giacomo's.
Yeah, definitely.
Like, you just put in some nice, like, trendy milkshakes in there, and the kids will be lapping it up.
But even without that, there's something about... Because everything's so hipsterish just now, Giacomo's actually quite great because it's not...
I know what you mean.
It's just Giacomo's, which
it's,
is...
It's never changed.
Yeah, which is good.
It is what it is, and that's a cool thing about it. So,
we'll get an Empire biscuit and a cup of tea.
Yeah,
yes. Or some ice cream.
Tea and a scone for very cheap, I think. It's like less than £2 or something.
Really? Yeah. Holy shit.
Exactly.
I'll be in there in my Giacomo clothes.
couple of
you're not fat, Jamie. You're just a big lad.
couple of
in all the worst places.
I'll try that again. there's a couple of films. I think there's a couple of musicians playing as well. Kenny's music have got on an acoustic stage going on. We were talking about. Dave thought that there was the makers of
the Blair, Kevin Smith
films. We're going to be here, and it was like, I don't understand why, but what? Okay, cool, brilliant. Well, it's not going to be Kevin Smith, but who else? Scott Moisey? Oh, that would be awesome. Yeah, let's have a look. Turns out it's actually the shooting of Clerks. It's a film about The Making of Clerks. And it's the two directors that are going to be there, Chris Downey and Brett Murray. That looks like a weird film because...
It sounds right up your street, though, Kutch.
I don't know.
Like, literally, in the middle of your street with signs saying Kutch everywhere pointing
towards
it.
Absolutely. It is a film about a film that you love.
Apparently, it is narrated by Kevin Smith and has a couple of the other stars of the film in it, in places playing other people that were, like, integral to the film being made.
Jason Mewes as best boy. No, not Jason Mewes.
You've got it's been filmed in St. Andrews, like Florida, and there's somewhere else batshit. But looking at that sort of like the locations already, the making of must have a budget that's
well exceeded
10 times higher than the original film. Because
is it higher than a Batman collection? Goes for auction. Yeah. Yes,
that film was it was all done on credit cards and everything. It was a shoestring budget. It's like people have always said, like, oh, you know, black, it was made in black and white as an artistic thing. He was like, no, it's all I could afford was black and white film. It was an entirely budgetary thing. So that would be interesting. It seems that one of the guys is from around about here, and the St. Andrews connection as well. So.
Yeah. One I was going to quickly say on the Outwith Festival as well is Doug Allen, who's the wildlife filmmaker. He's absolutely awesome. Like, his talks are superb, and some of the footage they show you about how close he gets, what you have to do as a wildlife filmmaker. Like, I just find that stuff pretty fascinating.
Yeah, it's amazing. There's also, they're doing like things like workshops for aspiring writers and stuff, where like they've got people who basically tell you how to try and get your work published and all that. You know, things like that. People from the publishing industry and all that. So, yeah. Oh, I'll go along and then...
Well, you have been writing that novella for a long time, Jamie.
I have.
Who would have thought it was all the romantic story of your life?
No one wants to buy a novella about a romantic story involving Lego.
I've just noticed as well,
I'll do a crowdfunder like Eck.
Yeah. There's a lass that's going to be playing as well, Amy Lou, at the Creepy Wee Pub on the 8th of September. So I don't know if you mentioned, it's between the 4th and the 9th of September, this whole thing, all these things going on. But yeah, I've seen her play up at Butefest last year, and she's got a cracking voice and some really cool songs. So that's definitely something worth checking out as well.
I think my niece was going to be playing, but she's... away to college or something.
That's awesome.
I think just the idea you've got an actual festival taking place in Dunfermline is just a good thing. Like, if it can get people across to Dunfermline to see it. Again, we've got
kind of riding the coattails of the Fringe as well. It's
absolutely. Why not?
Yeah. Don't you think it could be a little... I was thinking this when I looked at the dates. Don't you think it should be a week or two earlier, and therefore they could maybe suck up some of that extra Fringe...
But then it also might be the problem.
Like, obviously, you're not
too much of a competition with Fringe as well.
I would say probably
too close.
Yeah, do it a week out and then.
Yeah, it's probably not even like the actual competition for the actual artistic stuff. It's probably more the competition for where people stay. It's probably the accommodation aspect. So,
And it is more of a something for the people of the area rather than. Necessarily for people coming out.
Well, like, think about how good like Fence Festival was and stuff like that. And was Crailer Anstruther?
Even Tiger Fest we used to do here was pretty good. It was like 12 quid for a whole day.
Yeah.
And you could go to any bar then where we were playing music.
Yeah. And there was tons of stuff. Headline stuff on up at Carnegie Hall as well.
And it was good indie bands from across Scotland.
Yeah.
And it was good.
And that was, and like great folk bands and stuff like that as well.
I hope it sticks around though, because these things usually start, like cool things in the Dunfermline.
Yeah.
Usually start.
And then die.
And then stay for a few years and then, just absolutely die. Like Honeyfunk. God, Honeyfunk was such a good night.
Although I think with things like the Fire Station Creative, I think that's because I think they seem to be involved with us as well. And
there's a lot of stuff on there.
People that seem to have a bit of, I don't know, like pride and just
want to
do
something. Want to do something different, like rather than just...
And I think just having
I do think this town is like kind of ripe for it as well.
Yeah.
It's just like commuter distance from... Edinburgh has historic interest. There are things about this. There are facilities and venues. There are things that actually, it's quite well connected in terms of buses and trains.
Totally,
There's there's stuff that means that there could be more like again, as much as I've been digging on Kirkcaldy, the problem with Kirkcaldy is that it's just too far out from the main connection.
It's off, like off the motorway, basically.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah. It's like the motorway goes straight from like Edinburgh, straight pretty much through Dunfermline, right?
Yeah, and that's and into Purford Dundee.
Yeah, and that's exactly why Dunfermline is in a good position for it, and Kirkcaldy's not so much.
Yeah,
and that's part of the problem.
Something like that something like this happening in Dunfermline. And more things like this happening in Dunfermline can have that positive knock-on effect.
For everything in the area. Yeah, no, I'm hoping so.
To other places as well. And again, you know, if you can bring a band or you can bring an artist or you can bring somebody into Dunfermline, then it's not that much of a shout to get them to Kirkcaldy the next night.
Yeah,
you
know? Yeah,
and again,
exactly.
Kirkcaldy has Adam Smith.
The Adam Smith Theatre and stuff. That's brilliant, actually.
It's got loads of venues and pubs and stuff as well. So,
but the thing is with them, like, a lot of them are like, you know, what comedians always talk about when they go do regional art centres,
mm-hmm. yeah.
when they go to do gigs. Whereas I feel like in Dunfermline, there's a little bit more of a move for there's like a groundswell of people, like a DIY sort of thing.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Of venues, but like pay for venues. I mean, you've got like the fire station's probably the best example, but there's like the pubs and stuff have been, I think a lot have been trying to up their game in the music. You know, in the live music stakes
again,
and all
that's the bringing bums on seats for the pubs as well. It's like, how do you bring more people in? Live music's always a...
And a lot of them will give you a venue for free now as well.
Yep.
Because the more people that come for a thing, it means the more people are going to come into your bar and drink and stuff like that.
That's what killed live music nights at Monty's all those years ago. Mm. I mean, they happen now, but they used to be really busy. And then they started charging. They wanted a cut of the door instead of just taking it. It's like, well, we can't afford to bring half decent bands in, and,
that's the problem. It is just about like what is your business model that makes that work.
Yeah, I think they are doing stuff now though again.
Yeah,
so
cool. So we've sorted Dunfermline.
Yeah, no, absolutely. Yeah. Actually, and should we just wrap up there? We've done
like an hour and 15. Oh Jesus! Well, it'll be about an hour.
Yeah, that's cool.
That's cool. So that's another week without a desert island. We'll pick it up.
Yeah, we will pick up.
Like I say, things have been a bit higgledy-piggledy recently, and we'll get back on a normal
Sorry, we're thinking out loud, listeners. But no, we've been a bit disorganized because it's the summer. There's been holidays. Yeah. Everyone's had work. You know, guys, you can't expect 100% great content from us every week. Sometimes you just wish it would come one week, right? Sometimes you think all of this listing will finally come good.
Yeah.
At the end, there's a great Easter egg. This has all been a crazy, crazy mad treasure trail, just trying to get you to something brilliant at the end. It's not. At the end, you die. Yeah.
It's going to be like Lost. The ending will be shit.
Yeah.
Every single time.
Yeah. Everyone dies. We're all sad.
Life is pain.
Yeah.
So, Dale, if you're listening, you know how you leave work every week and you know you're feeling a bit depressed because I've usually brought you down that far, and then you walk out and you decide to put on Fife Club and have a listen on the way home. This is the one that I've always promised that you would get, where by the time you get home you're probably just going to go to bed and maybe not want to wake up again.
And then you're sand on some Lego in the morning and be inspired to write something awful.
Yeah, keep sending us content, please. Thank you.
We've got a thing to read from Dale, do we not? Or from someone?
I've got something, but not for tonight. I want at least four folk in. Yeah.
So, to make it really awkward.
Yeah.
Good. I like that.
And it's not about us either. It's just it's a wee competition she set us.
Oh, right, okay.
But it's got...
just like Naked Twister.
No, it's another bit of fan fiction, but she has got one of her lovely friends to read it.
Brilliant.
And basically we've to guess what it's about.
Okay.
Yeah. We've got to guess the theme of the fan fiction. So that's coming.
Diesel will be poured in Arsies.
I have had a little preview and it's very good. So yeah, I look forward to that.
Excellent.
So I suppose it brings me to that time of the evening where, it's us three again. We don't have a guest.
No, we don't have a guest.
I've got a motto.
Jamie, give me a motto.
Listen to Fife Club. we have shit content, but our listeners provide great content.
Yeah. as with anything, our listeners are much better than us. In fact, one week we should just let them do this instead of us.
Apart from it maybe hating themselves.
Yeah. Well, we're
fucking trying to do it.
Yeah, we're so good at that.
All over it. Good night.
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 Yeah, no, it's decent.
Cool.
First, right.
Hello.
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 Yep.
Hey.
Right, let's get this. And it is recording.
That's all you're getting. Oh, that's an extra at the end.
15 seconds, that's all you're getting. Finish yourself off.
Don't fucking hell.
Strong start, guys. Yes. Right.
It's all alpha chat here.
Whoa.